that it's a secret thing. It's a secret sin, really. It's a sin that nobody really wants to talk about. In fact, I don't even want to preach about it. But we need to, and we need to talk about it. We need to help people to understand a little bit more about it. You see, this sin is a little different than, say, drugs or the alcohol, which is one of the drugs. It's different than stealing. It's different than robbery. It's different than hatred. But it's one that a lot of people are participating in, according to statistics. And I want you to see some of these. I want you to understand some of this. And so, look at this, if you would. We're going to be talking about pornography today, and everybody's going, oh, no. I invited a visitor, and look what he's going to talk about. Well, it's something that we need to talk about. It's something that we need to discuss. It is not something that is out here somewhere. I guarantee you, today we have people sitting here today that are participating in it. Nobody said amen to that one, did they? That's one you don't want to touch, okay? But I'm telling you, it is such a secret thing, and it is made easier today with the internet and with so many people participating in it. And we're going to look at some statistics today, hopefully that will help us to understand how bad this problem is. If you've ever been on the internet, if you've ever been one that you have been tracking something, and I don't care what age you are, if you've been in there and you've been hitting something, Mark and I were talking about it a while back. We were trying to get pictures for PowerPoint, and you go on Google, hit images, and then you type in a word of what you want, and you get these people on there that have no clothes on. You get, and you know, I've called Linda. I said, now come here and look at this. I didn't do this, you know. Mark said he did the same thing. It came up, you know. It was there. And you see, we've got to understand that the world is not something that is just ignorant. The world is something that's very smart. They're able to look, some of the companies that you deal with are able to look at what you look at, and then they'll kind of feed that to you, whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying they do that about pornography, but if they do it about the other things, what about that? Okay? And I'm not accusing anybody of anything, so don't go out saying I'm saying that. But I'm saying that things come up on your computer, and you look at them. But now, you say, wait a minute, I'm an adult. Well, that's good. What if you're 11 years old and you're researching stuff on your computer in your room and that comes up? What are you going to do then? What are you going to do as a parent? I know some parents, in fact, one of my sons, they have one computer. It's downstairs where the family is at, and that's the only computer they have. And if the kids want to use it to do homework, they got to go to that computer. Now, you may not want to go that far. You may not want to go that far in your house. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got to understand, I like computers and I hate the things. It's one of those love-hate relationships. You can do a lot with them, but boy, those things can drive you crazy. But it can also get you involved more in sin. Used to, years ago, and most of you know this, you had to go to certain bookstores, and you could go there and you could get a book of people. Pornography, if you want to look at it that way. You could get Playboy, you could get Hustler, you could get all these other magazines. Now, before you ask me how I know about those, I'm a preacher, okay? I want you to know that. But you see, it's not that hard anymore. Used to, they covered it up in a brown paper. You could get it in the mail, and it would be covered up in a brown paper. Nowadays, you don't have to leave your home. You can just punch it up on your computer, and nobody's there to see you. That's the secret sin. That's the sin that people are involved in. That's the sin that we need to be concerned about in our families, with our children. We've got to recognize that. Now, if you would, look at some of the statistics we're talking about here. Two out of three men have viewed or are viewing that. And it is a problem for them. This is something that's interesting. Three out of every 10 women. I thought men just did this. No, women do it too. Now, look at this next thing here where it talks about 28% of the Christians have a problem with that. Now, we're talking about people who go to church all the time. We're talking about people who sit in the church all the time. We're talking about people who get up and pray and all this other stuff that we do in religion. They do all of that. 28% have a big problem with this. And we need to understand how difficult it is. Now look at these demographics, if you would, here. And I don't know if you can see this or not. It's like 55 and above, 20% are involved in this. Those that are 18 to 24, 14%. Oh, let's go the other way. 45 to 54, 21%. 35 to 44, 26%. 25 to 34, 20%. And then it goes on and on and on. Do you realize that the average age, and we're going to, I want you to see this now. The average age of a child when they first see pornography is 11 years old. 11 years old. Now, they're going to be able to determine at 11 years old, this is not good or this is good. Now, some may be able to, but many may not. And there it is. And you can mark it and you can go back to it. This is a problem that we have to recognize that it's there. Christians say that they have a problem with it and that it is a difficult thing for them to deal with. Some Christian families have said, at least 47% said that they had problems with pornography in their own home. It's so easy to get nowadays. It's not hard to get it. And we've got to recognize that it is a problem and it's going to continue to be a problem. I was reading about a lady who said that, and she knew her husband did that. He was looking at pornography. She was okay with it for a period of time, and then the money started going out of their checking account. And come to find out, he was spending hundreds of dollars every month to go on some of these porn sites. Now, as you know, some of them are free, but some of them cost. And he was spending hundreds of dollars. And somebody says, well, that's not that, you know, it's his money, do what he wants to. But listen, what it does, not only does it take your money, but it takes the intimacy between a husband and a wife away. Men look at this long enough, and this may sound strange to you, they'd rather have that than their wives. Now you say, oh, that's not true. Well, just look it up on the internet statistically about this. Just put in porn and put in statistics and you'll run up on this. You'll get a list of them. It'll show you. These figures that I'm using, some are good, some are even worse than that. But you look at how bad this is. The average age of 11 years old, 8 to 16 years old, having viewed pornography, at least 90% of them. Now, I'm talking about children who don't understand sometimes exactly where this is going to go. I'm talking about parents that don't look at what their children are viewing on the computer. Let's get something out of the way right fast. If my child lives at my home, I'm going to know what he's doing. I'm going to look at what he does. I'm going to look at his computer. I'm going to find out what he listens to as far as his music is concerned. And if he tells me that's his room, I'll ask him how much he's going to pay next month for rent. If it's his room, then he's paying for it. If I'm paying for it, it's my room, and I'll go in there. And I'll be bold enough to go through his stuff, to be honest with you. Now you must, I wouldn't do that. That's infringing on them. No, that's watching out for their soul. That's exactly what it is. And that's what we've got to do. You see, we're talking about little children here that don't understand how bad this can be. They don't understand what's going on. They don't have no comprehension of how bad this thing can be for their lives. And they need to know. And I'm going to tell you, you don't like to talk to your children about it. I don't like to preach about it, but we both got to do it. We've got to do it. And if we don't do it, we're going to be hurting our children. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to talk to them. Now, look at this. I want you to see this. What is the effect that pornography has on men? How does it affect them? And not just men, but men and women. All right. It really is something that has caused death in the family. It has caused families to be destroyed. It has hurt families, and we've got to recognize how bad that is. There was a fellow named Ted Bundy a few years ago. Some of you may not be old enough to know him. He was a man who this nation was just shocked when they found out how many people he had killed, how many children, how many adults that he had killed, and even went so far as to eat some of them. I'm not talking about the whole person, but parts. He was one who was caught, he was tried, he was convicted, and while in prison, he was baptized by a preacher in the Church of Christ. He was forgiven of his sins. He called a man named James Dobson. If you've seen a lot of the books that Dobson writes, are very, very good books, have a lot of good things in them. Some things you got, you know, every book you have to weed out this and weed out that, but he writes some things that are very good about the family and the defense of the family. He asked him to come and visit him. He asked Dobson to come and visit him. And he said what he wanted to do was explain to him as an author, that somebody that could write books, where his problems started. And he said it started with the viewing of pornography. Viewing of books that he shouldn't have. And you see, we don't understand how this graduates, how this goes from just this simple little thing of just looking to the thing of participating mentally, being involved in it. And he wanted Dobson to understand that a part of the problem that he had started because of the pornography that he was witnessing and how it progressed in his life, how it created problems for him in his life. And you see, that problem can happen to any one of us. Now, we may have a secret sin. We may have this where we don't say anything about it. We don't do anything about it, as far as the world knows. But we may do it in our own home. I want you to see how bad that this can get. It also destroys marriages. There have been marriages that have been torn apart. I was able to hear a fellow the other day, preacher's son, young man, was a youth minister for several years, and he talked about how that they wouldn't let, his parents wouldn't let him have it in his home. But he said he had a friend, and his friend had it just all over the house. And you could, and he told him where he could get it on the internet and everything. He said, listen, I got into that. And he's probably, I guess he's close to 30 years old now. He said, listen, I used to go to youth things and stand up and lead singing and do all this other stuff at the youth things. And then after that was over, I'd go out to the strip joints. I'd go out to the bars where all the people were. And he said, I'd participate in all that. He finally realized he had to do something about that. He sat down with a counselor and talked with a counselor. The counselor had him to sit down with this man's wife. And you see, his wife knew about this. Now, here's a preacher's son who's doing youth things and going home, and his wife is telling him, we've got to do something about this. She said, this is not right. You can't do this. And it got so bad that he beat her up one time. Now you say, it's not that bad. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Valentine's Day, he slapped her. Why? Because she needed it, or he was defending the position that he had. I think he was defending his position. He went on to say how that under counseling, what he had to do was sit down and tell his wife, the counselor there too, sit down and tell his wife that he had had 26 affairs. 26 affairs. Preacher's kid. In a Christian home. And he's got a good father. I know his father. He's a good man. It can happen to any one of us. Now, you can get it out of your home, but you don't know where your children are going to be, so you need to look at who their friends are. Somebody says, well, I can't choose my children's friend. I can work on it really bad. They'll know I'm there. It's bad when I show up at their house and I go into their room. But we're talking about protecting our children from something that can hurt them physically, but even more than that, spiritually. And it can hurt the whole family. Just think about it. Sitting in front of somebody and having to confess all of this to your wife and to another man. But then when this young man realized what it was and where he was and he got the help that he needed, he was willing to stand up in front of about 100 people, I guess, and talk about this and tell what happened in his life and how bad it was. And don't sit there and think, oh, it'll never happen to us. Oh, no, it can to any one of us. And we've got to realize that. It can happen to any one of us, and we need to realize how this can hurt, and we can need to realize how this can destroy us if we're not careful. Children are harmed. In a 4-year period in Louisville, Kentucky, they had 1,400 children that were sexually abused. In those cases where they could go and they could find out who did that and look at their house and what was there, do you know how many of those people had pornography in them? Every one of them. Don't tell me this doesn't hurt. One of the biggest things right now is child pornography. When they take little children and they're taking pictures of them. Now, I'm not talking about some of those pictures that you made that some people are going so far to say, well, that was pornography. But I'm talking about child pornography. This does not need to be. But it's something that can be if we're not careful. It can harm and it can hurt. And so here it is, a problem. Here it is, something that's difficult. It has been estimated that one out of every three boys and one, or girls, one out of every three girls, I got it up there somewhere, yeah, down at the bottom, and then one out of every seven boys will be molested by the year, by the 18th birthday. Now, is that a problem? That's a big problem with me. I don't like that. That should not be. We wonder why the country is having such a difficult time. We wonder why this country seems to be doing things that are so crazy. Now look at this little thing over here. You see all this blue, and you may be like me and you can't see 10 foot, but I'm telling you, all this, 97% in America on the internet, it's there. And this country is one of the biggest propagators of it around. Don't blame other countries. Don't blame other places. Let's look at home. Let's look at the reality of what it is. It's a big money-making thing in our society. It's a big money-making thing in the world that we live in. And we need to realize that. We need to realize how difficult it is to be able to stop this. It's not something that's going to be easy. But let me tell you something. I can't change the whole world, but I can change my home. I can do something about that in my house. Now, I can't change your house. I can't change anybody else's. All I can do is encourage you to open up your eyes and see it. But please understand, the price is very high. Now, I want us to look at some myths about this. I want us to see some myths about this. Myths about pornography. First of all, simply looking at it is not a sin. I would agree with that. Seeing it, you know, when you hit the computer and this comes up and you see it, you haven't committed a sin. Now, if you sat there for an hour and a half and watch it, that's a sin. You say, boy, you're really getting specific about that. Listen, anything you can see, you know, what is it, the old proverb that they used to have, you can't control the birds that fly over your head, but you can control the ones that build a nest in your hair. I don't know if you've seen a bird build a nest. It takes them a while to do it. That's what's wrong. It takes a while looking at this stuff. Now, I thought about this, but I knocked it down real fast. I thought about asking people to raise their hand that have seen pornography on their computer. But I was afraid to embarrass every one of us, because if you've used one very much, you have seen it. There's no way around it. It's going to flash on there. It gives you an opportunity. How long you look at it could mean whether it's a sin or not. Now you say, that's very specific about that. Yeah, anybody can hit it and it's going to come up on their computer. But how long do we stay there? Do we mark that site as a favorite so we can go back to it again? That's the problem. And we've got to understand that's not it. And turn to Matthew 5, if you would, and verse 27. Gary read a part of this a while ago, but I want us to look at this. Listen to what it says here. You've heard that it has been said. I'm going to get on down there, so if you're looking for it, keep on looking. It has been said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, Jesus speaking, that whosoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, looking is something we need to be careful about. And here Jesus is saying it's not just the act that you're committing that's wrong, but it's the idea of you continuing to look at that and continuing to have those thoughts in your mind. You need to control that. You need to start that, and we've got to start it. And so here it says in a very simple way, a very clear way, we need to be concerned about that. And we need to be concerned about what we look at. That's what Jesus is saying. Now look at how far he goes with this. And look at what he continues to talk about here. But he says, but I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, causes you to sin, then pluck it out. Well, now, I don't see any one-eyed people at church. Is that literal? Let me tell you something. If this has become something that is a habit in your life, if it has become something that is so ingrained in you, plucking your eye out would be an easy thing to do. Getting that out of your mind and getting your hand off that computer that will lead you there. Getting your mind out of that situation. That's what we've got to learn to do. And let me tell you something. For some people, it is not easy. It can become worse than cocaine or any other drug that you can mention. Because it'll take over your life and it'll take over what you have. Now, some people say, well, they're sitting here today saying, I've done it for years and hadn't got me yet. You might be able to get by with it. But let me ask you something. Would you want your family to know about that? Would you want to come to church and stand up and say, I was on the best porn site that you could ever find. I'll tell you where it's at Sunday morning. Uh-uh. Would you say to your son, you need to go look at this. It's good. Say to your daughter, listen, honey, I have found the best site. Why don't you go over there and look at this? You say, if anybody did that, they don't deserve to be a parent. They don't deserve to be people who have children that they're guiding, and you're exactly right. I'm not saying literally pluck your eyes out, but I'm saying it may be hard for you to do it, but it's worth it. And look, as he goes on to say, it's better for us to have had to deny those things that we desire more than anything else that we want. It's better to deny those things and enter into heaven missing some of that. If you've never done it, don't start it. It's better that you don't know anything. You say, I don't know anything about that. Maybe I need to look into that. No, you don't. Just know that it's wrong and don't do it. Know that it's not right and don't let that be a part of your life. Get that out of your life. God has figured out a way in His infinite wisdom for us to be able to complete and fulfill all of our sexual desires. Listen at this. The book of Hebrews, in Hebrews the 13th chapter, and we go down to about verse 4. Listen to what he says here. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled. He's saying these sexual urges that you have need to be met within a marriage, not outside of a marriage, not on a computer, not on anything else, but within that marriage. That's what he wants us to understand. And so here he says, this is what it should be. And so you be that way. But he said, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Now we see the word fornication and adultery, and we think it has just one meaning. It does not have one meaning. It is talking about the perversion of what God has planned for people to do. God gave us these desires. They are not wrong. They are not bad if they're used in the right way. And God has said marriage is where those things need to be used, not outside of it, not with other people, not with just the eye. Don't do that, and don't let that be a part of you. Temptations are going to come. Temptation is not a sin. Now listen to what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Being tempted is not a sin. It's when we give into that temptation that it becomes a sin. Anybody can be tempted. You can turn on your television, turn on your computer, and there it is. You're being tempted. What do? You get away from it as fast as you can. You flee from that. You don't let that be a part of your life. You don't let that be something that you continually look at. And you get away from it. It's when we continue that that it becomes sinful. We may see it. And every one of us, we've seen it. I started saying, is that right? But I didn't want to tempt anybody to lie. We've seen it. It's not good. It's wrong. It should not be. But it happens. Second myth. This is just part of being a man. Who in the world come up with that? It's not a part of being a man. Viewing pornography is not a part of being a man. I don't know how many times you can say that. Some fathers say, well, you know, boys are going to be boys. Let me tell you something. Let those boys be Christians and not just people of the world. Don't allow that stuff. Don't allow it at all. Treat it as though it was a snake, because it is that dangerous. I saw a fellow the other day, had this rattlesnake. That thing was about that long and about that big around, and he was holding that thing up. Let me tell you something. You might get by a time or two with it, but that thing will bite you after a while. And it's going to hurt, and it may kill you. So don't take it up. In fact, the Bible puts it this way. Don't take that serpent into your bosom. Here you've got your coat fastened, and you just drop a snake down in there. That's not a wise thing to do. He may not bite you. And then again, he might bite you. So don't put that. Don't tempt it. Don't put yourself in that situation. Then the third myth that some people have, or some people give, is sexual lust, or pornography, as we're going to define it today, is harmless as long as it is controlled. It is harmless as long as it is controlled. But let me tell you something. Some people can't control it. And why put yourself in that situation where you might be able to control and you may not be able to control? And let me tell you something. If you can not view it, or if you have to view it, if it's something that just, you know, you get next to that computer and it's just that you're, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But you get over there and you keep pushing and and you go ahead. Let me tell you something. That may be when it's out of control. I don't know exactly what control is in this situation. We need to be very careful about that. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 7, if you would. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is talking here about sin, and he's talking about marriage, and he's talking about how to keep sin out of marriage, and he's talking about how to control that relationship that you have as far as a marriage is concerned, and he's saying that people are to marry, and this is how you to conduct yourself in that marriage. Look down, if you would, at verse 9. He's talked in verse 8 about the unmarried and them having a desire. And he said it's better for them because of the situation of what's going on at that time that they might not marry. But then he says down here in verse 9, but if they cannot exercise self-control, if they cannot control those sexual urges, what are they supposed to do? He said they are to marry. They are to be married. That's how he has determined that these urges, these desires be completed, be fulfilled. It is in marriage and not out of it. That's what he says here. And look at this. That they marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. It is better to marry than to have these desires that you're trying to fulfill, but you're not fulfilling them in the right way, in God's way. That's the reason that God has designed that we marry a husband or a wife and we stay married to them. And we fulfill those sexual urges in that marriage relationship. The husband and the wife working that out. And the husband and the wife dealing with that in their home. And handling this in the right way. Now, how much time do I have? Linda's not sitting up here today. She hadn't got yet. What's the time? Sir? 20 after. Cheats. Okay. I'm not going to get to this next point because 20 after is time enough. But I'll finish it again tonight. I want you to understand how bad this is. I want you to understand how difficult this is in the world we live in today. This is an accepted sin to a great extent. People think that it's not that big a deal. And brethren, do not think that it's not a problem within the churches of Christ. A lot of times we think, oh, those other people out there. It's us. We're just like them. We're people. And there's sin. And we got to be careful about it. Christians have to deal with this. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know where you are as far as if you're viewing this on the computer or what you're doing. But I'm going to tell you something. It can cost you your soul. It can cost you your family. It can cost you respect. It can cost you honor that your family and society can give to you. If you don't believe that, what is that guy's name? Pickler? Is that what his name was? The senator the other day that was taking pictures of himself and sending it out to people over the internet. Grow up and smell the roses. People, get that stuff. And we've got senators, we've got congressmen, we've got maybe presidents. Not saying anything about anybody, don't know. They're so involved in stuff like that that they can't make good decisions, and we wonder why the government's going to pot. It's because a lack of morality within people. And this is one of those things that we need to deal with in this. One of the things that we need to look at. Now, I don't know, if you came today saying, I'm going to respond and get my life right, please understand, if you respond today, you may not be responding because you've been looking at pornography, okay? I want to get that straight already. Understand that. If somebody responds, they're going to think, man, if I do, they're going to think I've been watching porn all the time. No, that's not it. We want to make our lives right before God. Not everybody responds because of the great sermons. Okay. I understand that. You understand that. That's life. But I do need you to understand that you need to make your life right before God wherever you are spiritually. You need to make the life that you have one that God is proud of and that you are not afraid for anybody to look at your life and see your life because you are not a perfect person, but you're trying to serve God and do God's will. So today, if you want to confess your sins, if you want to be immersed in water to have those sins washed and cleansed away, as a believer, as one who confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we want to assist you and help you in doing that. If there's sin in your life, whatever it is sin, and it needs to be repented of, then please repent of that. We sing this song to encourage all of us to think about our lives. If there's sin in your life, repent.